This is Cortland Sutton, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Folks, welcome back for the week 5 edition of the RosterWatch.com Tradecast. My name is Byron Lambert, and we have a lot of ground to cover this week, so I'm just going to go for it. I may move along here a little faster than usual, but don't worry. We have a lot of players to talk about. First things first, we have the Thursday night game with the Bears and the Commanders here in week 5. That always makes it a little bit tricky to do any trade deals with players involved in that Thursday night game. It's just a little bit of a short turnaround time. So just keep that in mind. And then, of course, we also want to start looking at the bye weeks at this point, because this is when bye weeks begin in principle for the NFL. And bye weeks certainly can have an impact on the fantasy football trade market. So we have the Cleveland Browns, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be on hiatus in week 5 of the NFL season. All right, let's just jump right in here to the buy side of the week 5 fantasy football trade market. I think we'll kind of do like we did last episode. Let's just begin with our top 5 trade targets on the buy side of the fantasy football trade market. First, we'll begin with wide receiver, stud young wide receiver, Chris Olave of the New Orleans Saints, a player we love. He's also just flat out been awesome this season. If you go look at his profile, he has an incredible fantasy schedule the rest of the season. After a super fast start out of the gate through the first 3 weeks, it was a horrendous week four for Chris Olave. So I think people are a little bit down on the Saints right now. They're certainly down on Derek Carr right now. So I'd highly recommend that you make a strong move for Chris Olave on the trade market in your fantasy football league this week, as it may be your only chance. Chris Olave does not have a bye until week 11 of the season. So go get him now and rack up wins for the foreseeable future. Next up, in terms of our prominent targets on the buy side of the week 5 fantasy football trade market, another wide receiver, another young stud wide receiver, Jalen Waddle of the Miami Dolphins. Certainly not the target hog that Chris Olave is, but of course, in a much more dynamic offense with plenty of production to go around. Jalen Waddle only experiencing 5 to 6 targets per game so far on the season, probably has his owners a little bit nervous at this point. No breakout games to date in the season. He's already missed a game with a concussion. Week 1 and 2 were decent for fantasy for Jalen Waddle, but nothing to write home about. And week 4 certainly was not. So I'd say with all the hype on Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins running backs at the moment, I take a long, hard look at Jalen Waddle this week. As a matter of fact, I would pursue him aggressively on the fantasy football trade market. Next up on the buy side of things here in week 5, Aaron Jones, Green Bay Packers. I think Aaron Jones is towards the later phases of the prime of his fantasy career. So not a guy that we're super all in on as we look ahead. But I think for this season in redraft, Aaron Jones still, when healthy, looks like a good player. We love what we're seeing out of Jordan Love. Packers are a fun team. That division's kind of wide open. A.J. Dillon absolutely sucks. That guy has no dynamism. He just, you know, really, as you scout these players in the NFL, I mean, he does have elite size, but that's not enough. you have to have some elite athletic traits. And for those that don't, you have to at least be above average across the board. You have to be very, very well-rounded and significantly above average across the board if you lack elite athletic traits to really be successful in the NFL, including the running back position. And we've just seen A.J. Dillon simply does not have the juice for that position. So what I'm saying is Aaron Jones, he was out in week 2 and 3. He was pitiful in week 4. Expectations were already low heading into this season. We like Jordan Love. It's a good matchup with Las Vegas this week. It is a week 6 bye then thereafter for Aaron Jones. So there may actually be a window here to pursue Aaron Jones on the fantasy football trade market over the course of the next few weeks. But I would certainly say right now is just about as ripe as any. And there's plenty of opportunity for him to be far and away the best player out of the backfield for the Packers and really be the lead, one of the lead horses in what looks like a pretty exciting young offense. So I think Aaron Jones, if you can get a deal on him, would be a really interesting player to add. Imagine if Aaron Jones was in your flex. In a competitive league, that would be dynamite down the stretch. I try not to recycle too many picks from previous weeks here because we want to talk about new players. There's plenty of good players, but some of these guys persist and some of them are top shelf. So we have to talk about the Cowboys. Last week we talked about CeeDee Lamb. Look, the thing with CeeDee Lamb is that it already had been underwhelming on the season, and then we knew he was facing the Patriots, and we know that Belichick likes to take really your best player or players away, so clearly that's either going to be Pollard or CeeDee Lamb from a game plan perspective as it relates to the way New England was likely to scheme things up. But also, New England has just the absolute young stud defensive back, Christian Gonzalez, who, if you guys haven't watched him play, this kid really looks, he looks incredible for the Patriots. So you kind of predicted last week there would be a buy window on CeeDee Lamb, similar to what we just said about Aaron Jones. Like, he was already a buy low last week, and then we thought more than likely he'd be possibly even a buy even lower heading into week 5 after the matchup there with the Patriots. I guess in CeeDee Lamb's favor, Christian Gonzalez actually got injured during the game. He sustained an injury that looks like he's going to keep him out for the foreseeable future. Tough loss there for the Patriots and their defense. So in the end, Lamb was able to slip a touchdown in. So didn't really work out exactly how we'd love, because it looks, on the surface, it looks like he had a 12.8 pointer. And all of a sudden you look at his game log and it's doesn't blow you away, but you're like, all right, like, he's been pretty serviceable and he's at least had one or two like pretty good games. But fact is that without the touchdown last week, it was a pitiful performance. It was 36 yards on only 4 receptions on 6 targets. And if you look at it, 3 out of 4 games on the season, CeeDee Lamb is 4 receptions. Now, I'm just curious now. I mean, I would imagine he's got to be a high snap count guy, but let's just take a look here on the snap counts, touches, and targets tool over at rosterwatch.com. CeeDee Lamb, this is surprising. 63, I guess it was a blowout against the Patriots. 63% snap count in week 4. That's obviously surprisingly low. Let's see. CeeDee Lamb, 83% in week 3. And 72% in week 2. So, I mean, clearly the leader of the wide receiver group. Not one of these like 95% snap count guys, though. Has the 49ers up this week, which is not going to be any walk in the park. That's for sure. They don't look terribly tough on the matchup tool at rosterwatch.com. But 49ers defense, obviously no joke. And it really is kind of a mixed bag as you project the matchups on the rest of the season for CeeDee Lamb. You know, obviously the other concern, like we said here, is the target volume and just the general state of that offense and that passing offense. So, you know, maybe it's not a lock with CeeDee Lamb, but I just think that, you know, if logic prevails here, you just start putting two and two together and it's like, man, CeeDee Lamb, he's a guy you got to take your chances on. He really has the opportunity to heat up as the season goes on. So kind of depending on what his owner thinks in your league about him, you know, they can't be over the moon. He's not an untouchable. So I think CeeDee Lamb is a guy that you still poke around if you can on the buy side of things in your fantasy football league. It is overall, it's a decent schedule the rest of the way. But then, say right there with the Cowboys, I think the new guy that's popped up on the Cowboys side of things is all of a sudden, I mean, you're not going to get a deal on him, but Tony Pollard may be available. And heading into the season, like, my favorite guys were basically Pollard, Bijan, and Nick Chubb. So Pollard's been good, but I clearly think he has plenty of room to break out in a big, big way. I mean, they got nothing else to offer out of the backfield. They really should be a pretty good offense. I mean, it's, you know, plenty of work there for Tony Pollard. Let's take a look here at the touchdown dependency tool over at rosterwatch.com. Let's see, Tony Pollard. Oh, my goodness. This is why we want to trade for Tony Pollard. 22 touches per game. We want a 22-touch-per-game Tony Pollard. It's only a matter of time before it's an absolute epic monster. 4.3 yards per attempt, 4.25 targets per game. That's what we're liking. So CeeDee Lamb's nice, but I think what's emerged in Week 5 as we're targeting the Cowboys is I think Pollard is our prime target. Let's go. Obviously, he has the same difficult matchup this week against San Francisco, primetime, big primetime game, Cowboys 49ers. What a throwback this is. Both teams really trying to get in the driver's seat here for the conference here early in the season. Tony Pollard, 49ers this week, the Chargers next week, which is a great matchup, and then a bye week. So Pollard coming off 7.5-point game in Week 4, his worst game of the season. Only about 14 touches. And I think the reason this has maybe a tiny little bit more of an opportunity to be real is that weeks 2 and 3 were good, but they weren't just like wow you weeks out of Pollard. So really, week 1 was really promising. And a lot of that was the fact he got in the end zone twice. Aside from that, you weren't really blown away in week 1. So his owners, I'm sure, have been watching him very, very closely. And I bet if you can get to their souls and see what's inside their souls, I think Tony Pollard owners would tell you that they have a few question marks at this point of the season, which in turn tells me he's a guy that we can go after on our fantasy football trade markets. Last but not least, as far as our top 5 transactions of the week on the fantasy football trade market in week 5 on the buy side of the fantasy football trade market. Again, this is a little bit of a throwback to last week. Little bit of a blend here between Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler. All guys that were either out injury related over the last few weeks. And as we've told you over the years, that creates a purchasing opportunity on the trade market for premier players that otherwise just simply they would hardly ever be available. You know, Eckler, we've got going into a bye week. This will be your absolute last opportunity. Clearly, he's going to be healthy when he comes back, and he's got a monster, a really good schedule rest of the season. You're not going to get him for cheap, but what you need is you need an Eckler owner who's like 1-3 in your league and has a tough matchup this week and maybe has some bye week problems. Like, that's the dude you need to try to pick off for Austin Eckler in your league this week. Jonathan Taylor, a lot more unknowns with that one. They say he might play this week. He might practice this week. I think the Colts look good. I know he wants to get paid, but I would imagine, like, it's starting to look like a team you'd want to be a part of if you were Jonathan Taylor. And considering how good the other backs have looked there, I mean, Taylor's about 10 times better than any of them are. He's got a real chance to be do something big here, do something special down the stretch in your fantasy league. But it's still not 100% clear exactly what his position is and what his role will be and how he'll be reintegrated over one amount of time here. So And clearly his managers have been holding him because they're dying to play him eventually. So he won't come cheap, but I'd say this is probably your last opportunity to go after a Jonathan Taylor trade. And certainly he could be rostered by a team with a losing record, which would make them a ripe trade target this week. And then Saquon Barkley, I think his window may have closed. It sounds like he's limited at practice already this week, but if for some reason he was a last-minute no-go again this week, I mean, that could certainly take the wind out of the sails of a Barkley owner who's already frustrated and may need to get a win this week. And once again, if you're a winning team with the assets to do it, those are the kind of guys we want to go after. And, I mean, imagine it. Get a couple of trades like this done over the course of the season, you're going to be rolling a monster squad heading into the playoffs from a position of strength. We got some other guys here. I guess we'll stick on the buy side here. These are guys we're just going to jog through. Got a lot of names here. These are all players that I don't think are top buy targets of week five, but I think all guys who could be relevant in your league could certainly be in play globally across fantasy leagues, and just other names, right? Like, you need more options because every league's different. Which players are available on the market is different. Which managers in your league are willing to trade are different. So, like, a lot of difference. So you need some other names. So if I wanted to go beyond kind of this top five trade targets, buy targets on the fantasy football trade market in week five, right here on the rosterwatch.com tradecast. Of course, it's Chris Olave, Jalen Waddle, Aaron Jones, the Cowboys, Tony Pollard, and CeeDee Lamb, and then the top shelf running backs that are injury or bye ridden that are close to a return, and Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, and Austin Eckler. You want to make a last minute swoop in on one of those guys, or at least figure out what's going on with them in your league so you can rest easy tonight. Aside from them, I would certainly think we need to consider Cooper Kupp, who you could say fits in that same basket as a Barkley, Taylor, Eckler, but from the wide receiver position, a guy that's been injured, sounds pretty close to returning, doesn't have a bye until week 10, has a nice schedule rest of season. I mean, 3 months ago, you would have said you still thought Cooper Kupp was one of these guys that could be like fantasy wide receiver one or like a highly impactful player. I would assume that has to still be the case, but you know, it's unclear whether he's returning this week. It's unclear what his role is going to be when he returns. Puka Nacua is the real deal. I mean, I don't think he is going to usurp Cooper Kupp quite yet, logic would dictate, but boy, it's hard to imagine that he's not going to still be pretty involved, which has got to, I mean, Cooper Kupp was a guy who lived on mega volume in recent years. I mean, a very good player, and he scored fantasy points, you know, he had good yards per catch, and he could score touchdowns, but clearly it was part of his allure in recent years was massive, massive target volume. I think you have to be honest with yourself and say that's probably not likely the case here, so you know, Cooper Kupp, again, a year or two ago would have been a total untouchable on the fantasy football trade market. What I'm saying is I think he could be in play, and there could be feelings in either direction on Kupp at this point. I still am inclined to take my chances, and if there's a reasonable deal to be had on Cooper Kupp from a distressed manager in my league, go for it. Go for it. I mean, only one team is going to win all this, right? So in a 12-team league, you got, an 8% chance to win if all things are even. So, you got to hit some lightning in a bottle. You got to really go for it here. And, go big or go home tends to be our mentality here on the rosterwatch.com tradecast. I certainly think at the wide receiver position, if you need more trade targets, that guys that you're interested in pursuing, you got to look at your Cincinnati Bengals. You know, sooner or later, that thing will come together. I mean, you guys know I've had the bad calf injury, much worse than the one Burrow. Burrow was likely just a grade one calf injury because he was back, walking around and even back at practice relatively soon. So that's still, it's a nagging injury, and you can see it. I've told you guys how bad that injury is. Get a grade two or grade three, and you could forget about it. Like, remember, Kareem Hunt was never the same for months after he got his. So there is this thing about, like, when are we going to see the Bengals offense running on all cylinders? I think if you combine the rust of Burrow not being there during training camp and then also, like, this nagging injury situation, like, this is definitely a work in progress. No guarantee that Higgins and Chase are still going to start going off this week. And Chase, certainly not a guy you could steal. I mean, he's had some decent fantasy performances, but nothing that really just blew your hair back. And I don't think it's been strong enough performances that his managers don't have some iota of concern at this point. And then, of course, T. Higgins, like, his managers are completely alarmed at this point. And for me, it's just like, if you think this is eventually going to come together, Higgins is a guy I'm interested in because I love Joe Burrow. And Higgins is a nice talent. Nice talent and an end zone, you know, score touch. There's a lot of stuff to like there from the player perspective. But, you know, I want in on this offense. And so we know Higgins is a nice player. I think if you can get a deal on T. Higgins, that's really enticing. And I think you should take a look at it. Deebo Samuel in San Francisco. I mean, let's just look at this before I speak here. I think I know what this situation looks like, because we're going to talk about Brandon Ayuk a little bit later in this podcast. But let's look here at Deebo Samuel. 87% snap count, 3 touches, 0 targets in week 4. That doesn't really surprise me. In week 3, and that was the return of Brandon Ayuk week 4. Week 3 was the big week for Deebo, no Ayuk. See, this really starts to corroborate the story that I'm going to try to tell here. Let's see, here we had Ayuk and Deebo Samuel same on the field in week 2. This must have been where Ayuk got hurt, though. It was an 89% snap count, 9 targets for Deebo. Go back to week 1, where they're totally healthy here. That's another domination. Not bad by Deebo. I guess what I'm saying is so first of all, Brock Purdy looks very good. And this is a good offense. Very exciting team. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is the absolute gemstone of the franchise right now, and really of fantasy football leagues, as we predicted from camp. Like we told you guys, it's going to be all you can eat for McCaffrey, and he looked as good as we've ever seen him, and that this was Kyle Shanahan's wet dream to coach and scheme up plays for Christian McCaffrey. And I mean, we're seeing it unfold in front of our very eyes. But I guess the thing I saw at camp, I mean, I guess let's let it out of the bag, is, you know, Deebo is just such an exciting player with the ball in his hands. But at camp, I did notice Purdy really had a connection with Ayuk, who looked like the best pure receiver and looked really good at camp. And to the point where it was hard to distinguish. I mean, if you guys listen to the SiriusXM show or our podcast recapping training camp visits back in August, I mean, what I said was, hey, we want Deebo looks very good, and we like this, you know, we don't want to get blanked on him, but we want below average exposure versus ADP on Deebo. But on Ayuk, we want at least a little bit above average exposure from based on what we'd seen at his ADP. And really what's unfolding in front of our eyes is, like, in the pure passing game, Brandon Ayuk is Brock Purdy's number one, and I don't even think it's a question if you just watch the games. And then even George Kittle, who's so good all around, and I know that Shanahan likes to utilize him as a blocker, and that their scheme, much like Mike McDaniel and Miami, it's just going to be some big weeks and some down weeks. It's just not a real tight end heavy scheme at all times in the passing game, because they love those players as blockers. But George Kittle's an amazing receiver as a tight end, right? And even hit, like, he is clearly behind Brandon Ayuk as a as an actual receiver or pass catcher. So where I'm going with this is Deebo Samuel is not a player where, like, I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't, it's not, I'm not thrilled about it. I don't, what I'm saying is I think McCaffrey's the number one. In a lot of ways, you could start to call Ayuk the number two. I mean, he's the number one of the receivers. And then you kind of have Deebo and Kittle behind that, right? So let's see. Deebo Samuel here is 0.6 points in week four. Like we said, 3 rushing attempts for 6 yards. He was limited in Wednesday's practice with ribs and knee. So he played through the injuries in week 4. So he's kind of a decoy, I guess. And then previous to that, he had nice week 2, nice week 3. Because he had touchdowns and nice target volume. But again, those were when Ayuk was out or limited. In week 1, not so much. So the fact is, it's a good team, a good offense. Deebo Samuel's a very good player. We're not going to come on here and say that like he's not going to be any good. He's just not going to be consistently good. And he's not as high in the pecking order as you'd like, because when he was at his best, he was their best running back. He was the best player out of the backfield. Well, that's not the case with McCaffrey. And also, there was a time where he was the best pure wide receiver on the team. That's not really the case with Ayuk either. So he's not a perfect fantasy prospect, but I think that's all baked in at this point. And what I'm saying is, I think his managers are nervous and thinking that they made a bad pick with Deebo Samuel, especially coming off this just absolutely horrendous just fantasy performance that must sting so bad for his managers in week 4. And where I'm going with that is all a very long-winded way of saying that I think Deebo Samuel is actually a guy that if you're interested, you could go trade for him. But again, this is not, well, this is why he's not one of our top targets, like some, like a Chris Olave, like we started out the episode with, because it's not a perfect situation. You don't want to go crazy with it, but I think there's a reasonable deal to be had on Deebo Samuel. So if that just happens to be the guy that like a trade partner in your league has on his roster, and you're looking to fill a wide receiver or flex or something, like Deebo is a perfectly interesting guy to pursue in a trade deal if you get the right price. Amari Cooper, we said it, the Browns going on a bye week. So that really last week would have been, the problem is we didn't get the Deshaun Watson news until right before game time, so nobody knew. But certainly that was, I mean, his owners, Cooper owners have already had to absorb that, so I'm not sure how much that weighs into actual negotiations, but it surely it's affected their attitude. They feel like they just got kind of screwed this last week, and now Amari Cooper is on bye this week, and I think people just generally like aren't super sold about the Browns and Deshaun Watson. Yeah, it was 2.1 fantasy points in half point PPR in week 4. For Amari, and now head into the bye. So to me, that creates a, like a legitimate buy opportunity. And what we'll say is, you know, target volume was about 8 targets per game leading up to this. I think that's nice. And we said from camp, like pretty clearly he was going to get a lot of targets from Deshaun Watson. I like what I've seen. Week 2 and 3 were good, albeit versus very nice matchups against Pittsburgh and Tennessee. And we know Cooper is very much a boom busty kind of matchup based kind of player, but still looks very good, and I think is a very nice fantasy asset. Like if Amari Cooper is a flex or your wide receiver 3 or even wide receiver 2, you're feeling quite nice. So if that's a player that there's an opportunity to make a move on this week in your league, if you've identified that you need like a wide receiver or a flex type player, then he would be a perfectly suitable target. We mentioned Chris Olave with the Saints. To a lesser extent, I think you can look at his teammate, Michael Thomas, who's been good, just not great. Target volume's been decent. Seems like eventually there's going to have to be a breakout. And clearly he is number 2 behind Olave. But kind of the numbers under the production are good for Michael Thomas. I think he's a perfectly, especially in competitive leagues, a perfectly suitable player to look at adding, maybe like, as you know, a flex or like a wide receiver three. Michael Pittman of the Indianapolis Colts, a guy we've liked, but a guy I was not thrilled on going into the season. As much as I like Anthony Richardson, I mean, I went to his pro day at University of Florida back in, it was like the last day of March. It's a kid we absolutely love, but, and they've proved me a little bit wrong. I mean, they've been a surprisingly proficient offense, and he's been a pretty good, I love seeing what's going on with Anthony Richardson and the Colts. I saw my reservations about how in year one of that whole deal, you know, how much prowess there can be in the passing game. So that's where my hesitation's been with Michael Pittman all offseason. But to be fair, like, he's getting a lot of targets right now. I mean, let's see, Michael Pittman here. Let's go to the touchdown dependency tool at rosterwatch.com. Like, this is what turned me on to him when I was preparing for the show. Almost 10 targets a game for Michael Pittman. I mean, that's in an offense and a team that looks better than I thought. So I don't think he's a league winner. But Michael Pittman, I would say, is a guy to have a look at if you're looking for a wide receiver. Also, you're seeing a lot of people float the name Zay Flowers out there on the trade market this week. You guys know we march to the beat of our own drum at rosterwatch.com. It's like Alex will tell you about how the famous Greek musician Yanni, he can't listen to other artist music because he doesn't want it to infiltrate and ruin his beautiful mind. And that's how I feel about my beautiful fantasy mind. My colleagues here at Ross Watch will tell you that I don't let the outside noise, I don't get down into the echo chambers of the industry. And it's nice. It gives us a good balance here at Roster Watch. But I have seen a lot of people tossing around Zay Flowers this week, who, of course, again, I was at the Shrine Bowl. Like we told you, he's the crown jewel from the Shrine Bowl back in January. The Shrine Bowl, which occurs before even the Senior Bowl. It's the very first all-star college game of the NFL draft season. And like we told you, he might be a first-round pick. And everything we've seen in terms of what we saw to Zay Flowers that week, he's awesome. He can get open. He's a good, good player. He's flashed some big potential. I can see why people are wanting to maybe buy in on him right now. I think my hesitation or apprehension just still comes from what's the overall upside in that Ravens offense, like from a passing perspective. And so that's all I would say. That's why he maybe doesn't, Zay Flowers, maybe not a priority trade target for me. But certainly I can see, you know, after three kind of single-digit fantasy games, I can see why people are kind of thinking, oh, well, maybe this is a young guy to buy in low on. I think this is a lower priority deal, but a name worth mentioning. All right, folks, as we continue on to wrap up the buy side of the Week 5 Fantasy Football Trade Market right here on the rosterwatch.com Tradecast, I'd remind you that every week of the season we give away free NFL picks versus the spread at rosterwatch.com. And if you like those and you want all of our picks versus the spread on the season, you can get those for a really, really friendly price with the RosterWatch Premium subscription. It gives you everything that RosterWatch Pro, all the fantasy tools, but then you get a whole suite of advanced sports betting and fantasy tools beyond that. And most importantly, you get all the NFL picks versus the spread every week of the season that is RosterWatch Premium. And you guys will see that our algorithm, we compete with these NFL picks in the Circa Sports $1 Million Contest every single year. We track the results. And I mean, these picks are running hot at almost 60%, which means you will be making money if you sign up for RosterWatch Premium right now at rosterwatch.com. All right, folks, we'll move along here on the buy side and wrap things up here until we get to our top sell targets of the Week 5 Fantasy Football Trade Market. On the buy side, I do think it's all things Bengals. If you're looking for a little bit of a lower priority running back target that's still like a prominent name, Joe Mixon. I manage Joe Mixon in a league. I mean, he's not an untouchable. You're not exactly sure what to think. What you do know is in past years when you felt like that, he eventually breaks out And with the volume he's getting now, you would think he's going to, especially in the pass game. But, you know, Joe Mixon, a guy that just, he doesn't look super dynamic. He's kind of from that 2017 class, which obviously McCaffrey, Aaron Jones still looking good. But a lot of the guys from that era are already kind of dying off. They're definitely past their running back primes. And, you know, you got to think we'll be there sooner than later with Mixon. That said, I think he's a volume hog on a team that's should get better, on an offense that should get better. And I think Joe Mixon can't be stolen right now, but can be had and can probably be had fairly reasonable. I'd say he's a wise individual for you to examine if you need a running back in your fantasy football league. Breece Hall of the New York Jets. Another guy I see somewhat popular out there on the interwebs this week, and I think rightfully so. Like, people are picking up on probably some of the same indicators I did. I think mostly people watch the game and just realize Breece Hall. Today, realized two things in the game against the Chiefs. Breece Hall, just, he looks awesome. He looks like he has the chance to be awesome, which we know last year he was incredible when he was healthy. You can see the flashes, so people are getting lathered up about that. And then I think people saw that, wait a second, maybe this Jets team can be a little bit competitive. That's the other fear, that this is just going to be a horrible team and they can't score points and you really don't want to have any part of it from a fantasy perspective. I'd say there's been some life breathed into those things for Breece Hall in this recent performance. And, I mean, you certainly can't sell high on him because he doesn't have any value. So that he's a buy, potential buy, he's an experimental buy, Breece Hall is. He's in a three-way timeshare at running back position. He does lead the snap counts for the Jets. He clearly looks like the best player. 6.6 yards per carry. Only 2.5 targets per game. You'd like to see that tick up, but it's also like not a number to sneeze at. That's not horrible. He does have a week 7 bye, but then from week 8 through week 16, Breece Hall has an awesome schedule, and he should, in theory, get healthier as the season goes on. So again, I think we have a window here on Breece Hall, like a couple of these other guys we've talked about. But you need to trade for him before that bye week, or at least before that bye week expires. So we got week 5 now. You need to trade for Breece Hall at like bye week 7. So this week, next week, in the next 2 weeks, if you want to add Breece Hall. And he's a guy, like, you don't have to probably go spend a whole lot to get for him. And, you know, let's just see what happens. He could really provide a boost to your roster down the stretch. Or, guys, sometimes we talk about the liquidation trade. So, you know, pretty soon, if you're a losing team, you've got to start to figure out why. And then you've got to trade with a purpose to correct that. And most of the time, it's because you're not fielding a competitive starting lineup from top to bottom. And what does that mean is you need a couple of guys. You got to be more competitive. You need a couple of dudes, hopefully guys you can buy low on, that have upside to stick in your lineup. So sometimes you got to like swallow the medicine and go trade one of your good players, hopefully one that you think you're selling high on, hopefully one we think has an inflated value right here on the rosterwatch.com tradecast, and go trade them for two of our buy targets, buy lower targets, and get two dudes that you can plug in there. So pretend you're a losing team and maybe you need to go trade one of your better players to get two good players in return, because that way you can field a better starting lineup, more competitive starting lineup top to bottom. Well, like, maybe Breece Hall is one of those players you bring back. Like, maybe he's your new flex. And that's not somebody you have to get a lot up for. You give away one decent player and you can get maybe like Breece Hall and somebody else in return. Like, we'll talk about that. I'm going to get to Alexander Mattison in a minute as one of our top sell targets. I don't hate the idea of selling Alexander Mattison for Breece Hall and another player in return if I'm looking to liquidate. Javonte Williams. I think you're going to have to look, but it looks like he could be out this week or got a little something injury going on. And on top of that, he's just been bad for fantasy. And his owners are extraordinarily disappointed. Javonte Williams, obviously a player everybody is pretty hung up on his talent as an NFL draft prospect. We still think he should be good. We still think he should be getting healthier. We think this Broncos offense looks better this year. So like a lot of that stuff, when you do the mental math, feels like it should add up for some kind of Javonte Williams renaissance. I mean, maybe it doesn't happen ever. Maybe it doesn't happen until later in the season. Certainly it's not happening right now. But if he's a guy you have a hunch on, like, I think you can get Javonte Williams for peanuts right now. If you're liquidating and you need two guys, maybe you're liquidating one of your running back. Maybe you have one guy you need to get Breece Hall and Javonte Williams back. Like, that's a pretty interesting, that's creative. It's creative, you know, as long as you have a purpose and some rationale behind this, like, you're in a good spot. Jahmyr Gibbs, Detroit Lions. I mean, his managers have to be beyond frustrated. I think he's a buy target right now. He's 7-8 points a game. He looks explosive, but I also look to me like a guy that doesn't have much juice on contact, which wouldn't really totally surprise me based on his NFL draft profile. And Montgomery looks awesome, and they're going to give Montgomery the ball a lot. It's a good offense. I think there's enough to go around. You would think Gibbs eventually is going to get more work and have some breakout games, just given his talent and given the situation there. It's not a guarantee, so you don't need to go chase down Jahmyr Gibbs, but if you can get a deal on him, or again, if you're liquidating and you need two players in return and Gibbs is one of the guys you're getting back, I like this Lions team. They're good, and they want to run the ball. They want to play defense. They like to score points. They're getting Jamison Williams back now, which obviously another mouth to feed, but just creates more scoring opportunities, more opportunities for that, for everybody, really, for them to become a prolific offense. So Gibbs, not a must-buy, but a guy I think can be had that just a month ago was the darling of the fantasy community. Miles Sanders of the Panthers. We've talked about him. We're not over the moon about this one, but just given the volume and the talent, he's a guy you have to consider if he's available in your league and he just happens to come to the surface in one of the deals that you're looking at. Like, he's a guy that we can consider on the running back side of the buy side of the Week 5 fantasy football trade market. And then last but not least, Ramondre Stevenson. You guys are going to need to decide what to do with him. I mean, I think clearly you may not want him at all. But if you do want him, like, this would be the time to try to go after him. And it doesn't sound sexy. It might not work out, but I mean, the volume is decent on the season, but he's back-to-back 5-6 point games here, and he hasn't had one big blowout game quite yet. It looks like a nice schedule from week 6 to week 10, then a bye, and then a beautiful schedule from week 12 to week 16. Ramondre Stevenson actually has a very strong fantasy schedule the rest of the season. He doesn't have a bye until week 11. I think you got to just clear this matchup that's tough on paper against New Orleans this week. So we're going to have a 2-week bye window on Ramondre Stevenson. If you can't get it done this week, you might be able to get it even done cheaper next week. Not a player that we're thrilled about going after, but I think on paper, like, there's actually just logically a lot that we should consider there. And again, this is just more options in your league, and he's probably a plausible option in many, many leagues at this point. All right, folks, we're going to keep moving along here on the Week 5 edition of the RosterWatch.com Tradecast. Again, I'm Byron Lambert, and we're going to move on to the sell side of the fantasy football trade market this week, and we'll do the same thing. Let's give you the top five on the sell side. I think the first thing worth noting is that both Devon Achan and Kyren Williams do have sell high aspects to their profiles at this point, but my feeling is that we read the tea leaves with those guys and we keep them. Those guys are studs, and unless you can trade for a marquee top shelf premium cream of the crop player, that's the only way we're giving up Achan or Kyren Williams at this point, because I think realistically it's going to be hard to upgrade over those guys, and there's still going to be a little doubt surrounding them, so I'm not sure exactly what you can command, but the fact is I think they're the real deal at this point, and we're in no rush to get rid of them. So I think it'd be easy to come on here and say, let's sell Devon Achan and Kyren Williams. I mean, we talked about it a little last week. with another week's worth of information, I think that we're becoming more convinced that those are both players you're more than likely just going to want to hold on to, unless it's for a deal for a megastar. In terms of the top sell targets, we mentioned him, Alexander Mattison. I'll just dive right out with it right now. We talked a little bit about it last week, too. But I think he kind of rises towards the top of our players that we'd like to sell on the fantasy football trade market this week. Because if you look at it with Mattison, the thing is that shockingly, and I'm thinking maybe the people that haven't rostered him haven't paid as close attention to him in the games. Because if you've watched the games is when you've been so disappointed. If you look at his game log, I mean, 3 out of the 4 games in fantasy, he's scored over 10 points. And he's scored 12 points, 3 points, 15 points, 10 points. So in 3 of those games, he's averaged about 12 points. He really only had one poor game. I mean, you look at the last 2 weeks, it was 25 touches in week 3, 18 touches in week 4. I mean, that looks good, but you already see the downward trend. And what we already saw was Cam Akers get involved, who also looked pretty good this last week. So I think he probably did light a little bit of a fire under Madison's behind, but this is probably going to devolve into more of a timeshare in pretty short order. And if you've watched it, it just, you don't feel that good about it. So I just think we talked about it last week. We said worst case, hold him one. Let's hold him against Carolina, which is a great matchup, and see if we could squeak another good game out of him here, and then let's flip him. So now he's got back-to-back good fantasy games, and he's got 3 out of 4 good fantasy games. And on paper, it's a tough matchup against the Chiefs this week, but it's also like the highest game total of the week. And then beyond that, you know, he's got, I'd say, a mixed bag. You got good matchups in week 6 and week 8 if you're looking a little bit further out. But nonetheless, my instincts just say, and now I'm a Madison manager, and I'm a guy who liked Madison when he's coming out of Boise State, but my instincts say, like, this is a guy we're not sold on rest of season, and if we can move him now for somebody we're more comfortable with, I think we should go ahead and do it. I'd recommend that you consider it if you roster Alexander Mattison in your league. Khalil Herbert, similar situation in Chicago. Everybody was clamoring about the Roschon Johnson breakout against Denver this last week because they saw what the Dolphins running backs absolutely carve him up in the previous week. Well, it didn't happen for Roschon. What we actually saw, surprisingly, was Khalil Herbert with like his biggest snap count dominance of the season. He turned in a pretty nice performance. We certainly don't trust it long-term. We certainly just don't trust anything Bears really long-term there. So, you know, Herbert, we told you he'd be a decent fantasy player this year. We don't hate him. If you drafted him, it's not the worst. If you have to roster him, it's not the worst. But I just think you're going to have a limited opportunities. I think this is the highest you're going to get to sell on Herbert the rest of the year, and we're trying to win, and I'm just not sure he's the kind of guy we're going to pull off wins with. And so I'd recommend if you roster Khalil Herbert, like, make it a priority this week to see if you could ship him off your roster for a better player in return. Moving on, our top targets of the Week 5 sell side of the fantasy football trade market, none other than Nico Collins of the Houston Texans. I mean, this truly is the story of the rising tide lifts all boats, and the tide's name is C.J. Stroud. I mean, Stroud, obviously, you guys know how much we loved C.J. Stroud coming out. Just a tremendous passer, really, and just command on the football field. Really blew us away when we saw him at the end of the college football season last year. And I mean, it's been a seamless transition right into the NFL. I don't know. It's amazing. He's right up there with Cam Newton and Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning and these guys in terms of how prolific he's been out of the gate as a rookie. And the difference with him is he's had, like, way less interceptions, way less mistakes. So impressive what we're seeing out of Stroud. I think he's one of the guys that could continue it. And I think the Texans are a sneaky, like, kind of tougher team and competent team than people want to give them credit for. But it is also a rookie situation. It is also the Texans. I think we have to have a sober view of that. And it is also Nico Collins, who, I mean, we've got pretty sizable amount of information on Nico Collins at this juncture. What is this, year three, I think, of his career? I mean, granted, at the wide receiver position, you could still have some developmental growth there. And he hasn't had a great, certainly hasn't had great quarterback play in recent years. So I suppose it's possible for him to still turn over a new leaf as a player. It's a really interesting story with Nico Collins. I mean, you guys might remember this. Alex and I saw him at the Senior Bowl, and I was impressed with Nico Collins all week. And just big guy that could really high point, make the tough high point catches, and also get kind of vertical, surprisingly, as big as he was, and red zone threat on top of that. And but also like a yards per catch guy. Like the guy could get downfield on the sideline. And Alex told me, he said, man, that guy's a slug. He's going to run 4.6 or something like this. I said, dude, I said, if Nico Collins runs sub 4.5 or sub 4.55, like, watch out. That's going to make a splash and he needs to be on the radar. And then he went and ran 4.45. I think it was a home cooked pro day. So maybe more like a 4.5 if that was real combine time. But Collins can run. Big guy that can run. High point. So, you know, the talents there are just wide receiver 7 in points per game on the season and half point PPR. Just seems absolutely bananas for Nico Collins to the point where, like, we could twist ourselves into a pretzel trying to rationalize how that is and how that's going to continue. But there's just something in your mind that says that's not a plausible, that's not a tenable situation. Nico Collins is a wide receiver 1 in fantasy, especially guys like Tank Dell, et cetera, we like. We've got a rookie quarterback, all this stuff. So Nico Collins coming off of 33 fantasy points in week 4, 168 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's topped 145 yards receiving twice this season, 19.5 yards per catch. Like we said, he has vertical chops, which has really surprised some people. I mean, when you see these esoteric stats today on Twitter, like from our good friend Scott Barrett, I mean, really, this is just another way to drill down even more on kind of like yards per catch, but yards per route run. I mean, he's up there with Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown, which is just a nutty statistic for Nico Collins. 3 out of his 4 games have been very good. He had 3 of those games. He's had 11 points, 25 points, and 33 points in half-point PPR. 8 targets per game. Not a monster, but very solid. Kind of wide receiver 2-ish, I guess you could say, volume. And he's not touchdown dependent either. He's actually like touchdown healthy. He's scoring right at the clip that we feel is very, very sustainable. So yeah, it was a monster week 2 and a monster week 4 for Nico Collins, and he kind of sandwiched Tank Dell, who had the monster week 3. So where I'm going with this is, what a pleasant surprise CJ Stroud is. The trash man called the Tank Dell breakout as a rookie from Texas camp and from the Senior Bowl this year. Nobody expected this from Nico Collins, nor should they ever have. And it's a pleasant surprise. I think maybe we're seeing the real breakout. Maybe like Houston is pretty competent, but just reality sets in. You say there's just no way at the end of the season we can remotely remain this pace. And if it does happen, then so be it. That's like getting struck by lightning. So what we want to do is we want to be on the right side of this. We want to leverage this. So if you know, I guess you could even call it kind of like you're selling short on Nico Collins. Like, we just don't think he can maintain his value. Is going to come down, right? So let's flip him all we can for a big-name player. I think you can get that done. This was a tough one because I wanted to talk about DJ Moore. We'll get back to him in a second. I just couldn't because he's actually been really good. But so if my other – on the sell side of things, we've talked about Alexander Mattison, Khalil Herbert, and Nico Collins as our top three priority players to sell on the fantasy football trade market this week. The other two that made the cut are Courtland Sutton and Drake London, two guys who just are really reliant on touchdowns And it's kind of different reasons why what's going on is going on, but kind of these two big body guys. I mean, London moves better than Sutton does at this point. Sutton looks like a damn tight end almost out there, but two gigantic body guys that are really, you really can't count on them for the yards and the receptions. So they're living on touchdowns and they're not on good teams. I mean, London, I think you can make the argument that if Desmond Ridder gets benched, then if Tyler Henneke comes in, there could be an uptick there. I'd love to see it. But, I mean, can we really bank on that? And is that even, I mean, come on, what are we even talking about when we listen to ourselves say that? And then Courtland Sutton, it's like the problem with him, I mean, that offense has been better, but it's still got question marks. And the problem is, with him is that it's, you know, you're seeing Judy and Mims and these guys get involved now, and there's just not enough. When Judy was out, and there's a little more target volume for Sutton, we liked that. But I think you're just, you're living on credit with Courtland Sutton and Drake London. And I'd rather go ahead and pay those bills off this week in week five of the fantasy football season by trading off Courtland Sutton and Drake London for better players that we find more reliable in return. All right, folks, before we get on to maybe some mock examples of some trades we could try to construct this week based around some of the players we've discussed, I'm going to turbo through here some other guys that I think could be sell targets on the trade market this week. DJ Moore, you're going to have to make of it what you want. I mean, not a guy I historically like at all. I think he's an underwhelming fantasy player that is more often than not just disappointed and failed to live up to expectations. And that's the feeling I had from afar this season. You know, I knew he had the breakout in week four, but kind of despite that, I thought it's been a bad season for Moore. I'm researching and putting this podcast together, and I'm sitting here going, man, I'm kind of like changing my mind on DJ Moore as I'm going through all this. So I have very mixed feelings about this, because had this been what I thought it was going to be, DJ Moore would have been right up there with Nico Collins as our top sell target of the week. But DJ Moore has an incredible schedule the rest of the season, incredible fantasy schedule. He's got three solid games in a row. From a fantasy perspective, that he's just put the statistics down on. Best game of the season in week four, 9 targets, 131 yards and a touchdown. And he's playing like a 95% snap count. He's a very high snap percentage guy. So the truth is, when you look at DJ Moore's profile, there's a lot of stuff that you would say, like, these are indicators this dude is good. So I'm not going to sell him. You know, I still there's something inside of me that says, let's tread a little lightly there. Like, let's not drink the Kool-Aid all the way out on DJ Moore. And if we're not totally sure and we can ship him off for like an elite player, which I think you can with his name and his recent production, like, I just think it would be the smart thing to do. I mean, certainly he's not a guy that we're going out to trade for. I mean, his value's through the ceiling right now. And he, as you can tell, he's not a guy that we 1,000% trust. But I think DJ Moore is either a keep and he's turned out to be got a good profile and you're feeling good. And it's been what a surprise, nice surprise it's been. Or credit to those that were bullish on him preseason. Or this is a like the ultimate sell high moment on DJ Moore, which is really the side of things I tend to live on. I just think you can just eliminate the concerns around that situation in Chicago. Brandon Ayuk, I mean, you heard me earlier. I mean, we don't want to talk too much about selling Brandon Ayuk because he's the real deal, and I really do think he's Brock Purdy's favorite target in the pass game. I saw it at training camp, and the fact has been very evident in the games that Ayuk's been healthy on the season. That said, the counter-argument is Brandon Ayuk's targets per game leave a lot to be desired. Let's see here. Brandon Ayuk is only, 6.67 targets per game. Yet Ayuk is in half point PPR. Now, granted, we'll go points per game here because uh, he's missed a little bit of time. But Brandon Ayuk, 17.5 points per game and half point PPR. Points per game, he's a number eight fantasy wide receiver, number eight on this season, above A.J. Brown, above Amon-Ra St. Brown, above Devontae Smith and CeeDee Lamb, way above that Deebo Samuel. I mean, he's right in here with Nico Collins and Devontae Adams. It's just crazy. I mean, we know that these statistical standings are going to change a whole lot by the end of the season, and some of this will just seem like folly in retrospect. But what I'm saying is Ayuk has been awesome. His value is very, very high. I do think he's the number one in the passing game there, but ultimately I think he's still number two to Christian McCaffrey. And in the end, there is still Deebo and Kittle, so you got to argue there's four guys there. And as good as Purdy looks, it's not the highest volume passing offense. So yeah, there is an argument to be made that, you know, obviously Brandon Ayuk, not a must sell. You feel like you hit the gold mine if you drafted him. But he is a guy, if it's for a super elite player, there are little aspects to his profile you could argue definitely land on the sell high side of things. And I don't think you could sell any higher than Ayuk than you could right now. Christian Kirk and Calvin Ridley, Cody Carpentier, you guys hear him over at rosterwatch.com every week of the season now. He says Christian Kirk is the alpha in Jacksonville, which is interesting because I was looking at Calvin Ridley, who pretty much saved his bacon with a touchdown this last week, but otherwise pretty underwhelming for Calvin Ridley in last week and really on the season overall, other than I believe it was. I never want to come on here and lie to you guys, so let's just double check. But Calvin Ridley, might as well just do the comparison. We're right here on the podcast. Let's just get down in the weeds of this thing. Calvin Ridley, a 21-pointer in week one, a bogus week two and three, restored his value in week four, but with a touchdown, only 38 yards on only two receptions. Guys, Calvin Ridley is only averaging 2.3 receptions a game over the last 3 weeks. So he's probably at like, what is Ridley? He's probably like six receptions a game on the season. Let's see how he is. Calvin Ridley, seven targets per game on the season. So, and only 15 receptions. So he's got a terrible ratio of receptions to targets. You wonder if that's about getting in rhythm in the offense and shaking the rust off and new quarterback, new system, all this kind of stuff. Let's see. Let's see what Christian Kirk has been up to. So what I'm saying is Calvin Ridley's a guy, if you look at his profile, you probably want to sell high on him coming off of this this artificially propped up fantasy score in week four with the touchdown. Christian Kirk is the 8.75 targets per game. Let's see what his game log has looked like now that we're talking about it. Christian Kirk is three out of four good games, three back-to-back-to-back good games. Up and down targets, two. Week one and week three, lower target shares, but week two and week four, big-time target shares. So it does appear from a target perspective that this is Christian Kirk is the lead dog. So I think this does mean you might want to sell Calvin Ridley if you can. But truly, I mean, depending on what I could get for him, I could also be interested in selling Christian Kirk. And this actually reminds me that I'm remiss because I realized we didn't talk about him. I know I had jotted him down, but we're talking about the Jaguars. Guys, I got to put it in reverse here a little bit. And I would be so disappointed if we didn't talk about Travis Etienne. Travis Etienne, who's been good every other week of the season, but still hasn't totally blown the top off. We are interested in actually, sorry, we're digressing a little bit here, but we're actually interested in trading for Travis Etienne. And I'd say he might not have made our top five trade targets, but he's right there on the cusp. And the reason why, I'm glad that we started talking about these Jaguars, is let's go to Etienne. Travis Etienne is 20, almost 21 touches per game and four targets per game. I mean, that's an absolute profile. That's a mouthwatering profile. Only 3.8 yards per carry, so a little bit inefficient. not a lot of action in the end zone yet, but Travis Etienne, another player that I think we should be highly interested in going after this week on the trade market. So sorry to digress, but glad we started talking Jaguars and caught that one. Let's move on. We got to turbo through here. Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. I think you got to decide what you want to do with these Commanders wide receivers. It looks like McLaurin is in the driver's seat, and Dotson is probably not going to live up to preseason expectations. That said, I think you're capable of potentially selling high on either or both of them this week. I'm not sure you're thrilled about, you know, those are guys like McLaurin, you don't mind having him, but if you can upgrade him, you'd like to. Clearly Dotson, if you can upgrade him, you'd like to. Adam Thielen having himself a season so far in Carolina. I mean, I guess it makes sense. I mean, he's the security blanket for Bryce Young, but I mean, how much of that can you want to be invested in? And I just think, well, Adam Thielen's on a roll. Shouldn't you try to capitalize by trading him away in your fantasy football trade market? Tutu Atwell, I don't think you're going to get much for him, but on the flip side of chasing down Cooper Kupp, I mean, do you start to think to sell about Puka? Start to think about selling Puka? I think he's the real deal. I think it's going to affect Cooper Kupp. Actually, this might mean that the Rams are going to be like pretty good on offense if both of those guys can be firing like that. I mean, we have seen Tutu also has been, you know, nice. The Rams, one of these teams has surprised me. They're surprising me. So ultimately, I don't think you're going to people who roster Puka are probably not going to get for him what they want because people know Cooper Kupp's coming back. But I guess what I'm saying is that he's probably a hold, but I could see a situation where I'm motivated or willing to part with Puka at this point, knowing that Cooper Kupp is coming back. You know, again, a lot of that's going to be depend on what your league mates feel around that situation. I could see that going either way. DK Metcalf, he's been actually solid. He's been more. This is another one. I didn't think he'd been any good on the season. I looked back and I'm like, well, for fantasy, he's actually like the bottom line fantasy production has been solid for DK Metcalf, above average. He's on a bye this week, and I hate his volume, target volume. So look, you're not going to want to sell him this week on the bye, and we're not trying to purchase him. So I think this DK Metcalf is more of like, I think, a watch and see. Over the next week or two, you're going to decide what you want to do with DK Metcalf. And if I manage DK Metcalf and it looks like things are pretty much staying the same, I am trading him. Or if I'm already convinced they're staying the same, I am trading him now or next week. I just think the volume, the target share is too low for DK Metcalf. And you should capitalize on him, you know, while you can. I don't think he's going to be as consistent as he has been as the season progresses, and I think you'll be disappointed that you didn't try to use DK Metcalf to improve your team on the fantasy football trade market. Guys, Romeo Dubs, he's been the absolute real deal in Green Bay, and obviously y'all know how much I love Jordan Love, but we're seeing Christian Watson back now. I think we're going to see Luke Musgrave get back into it. Jaden Reed is also a solid player. I think what you got to decide is, can Romeo Dubs continue at this clip? And if not, I think like he's a guy that you can live with, certainly live with, packaging up and shipping off for a premier player in return. And then last but not least, running back Zach Moss. I think with Jonathan Taylor's return somewhat sounding imminent, you may or may not be able to get anything for Zach Moss, but I think he's a guy you can consider throwing into a deal and like parting ways with at this point. I'm not sure how much run you're going to get out of him moving forward in your fantasy league. And then Isaiah Pacheco of the Chiefs, a guy we talked about at length last week, like the allure with him is that could the Chiefs finally have a workhorse running back? And to me, last week, it was like the writing was on the wall. We just need to assume the answer to that's going to be no, and he'd had a pretty good week, and let's sell high on him and try to move on. But, you know, Pacheco, now he kind of reopened. If you didn't move him last week, the discussion has now reopened on the heels of 23 touches. You know, after a 17-touch week before that. So his touches have increased every week. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe Pacheco can become the worst. We're not sure. I think he's probably a hold. If you're not sure, you could either sell high on Pacheco right now, coming off of a 24-point game, best game of the season, big volume, to back. He's averaging, you know, almost 20 points a game the last 2 weeks. I think he's a very marketable player on a Chiefs team. So my options are at this point is I'm inclined to consider shopping Isaiah Pacheco this week just to see. And if I can trade him for somebody I'm just more comfortable with longer term, I'd go ahead and do it now. Otherwise, like, let's wait and see this for another week or so. And let's see if this does this devolve to a thing where it's going to be hit or miss. And then we wait for his next big game and then we try again to trade him after that. Or do we, maybe we wake up and say, you know what, this is a trend. This is the real deal. He is going to be, you know, at least a pseudo bell cow rest of the season for the Chiefs. And, you know, therefore we're going to go ahead and keep him. These are the things that need to be running through your mind this week on your fantasy football trade market in week 5. And last but not least, tight ends. Hard position to solve. A lot of underwhelming performance from prominent players this year. God, you wish you picked up Sam Laporta right out of the gate, rookie for the Lions. He's been a real boon. Looks like a real problem solver for managers, fantasy managers nationwide, if they were able to scoop him up. But if you were not, the good news is I think big-name players like George Kittle, Dallas Goedert, Darren Waller, and TJ Hawkinson, all big-name tight ends that have real upside, and I think are all like the set it and forget it types that, you know, will they return the value you hope for at the end of the season? I'm not sure, but I think they're the guys you just put them in every week. You relinquish the headache, and then they're going to have their big games, and probably in the end you'll be fairly happy with it. I do think this is your opportunity this week in week 5 to solve your tight end woes, because we have a lot of supply at the tight end position on the Week 5 Fantasy Football Trade Market right here on the RosterWatch.com Tradecast with guys like George Kittle, Dallas Goedert, Darren Waller, and TJ Hawkinson. All right, folks, before we jog out of here, let's try to cook up a couple of examples for you guys. Maybe if we wanted to go after a player. Let's say we wanted to go after Chris Olave. Could we take, you know, Khalil Herbert and Cortland Sutton and go after Chris Olave? Or could we take Drake London and Terry McLaurin? I mean, there's any of these combinations we've talked about. Could we take Adam Thielen and Terry McLaurin? Something like this. You know, these are the kind of things you need to make. Can you take DK Metcalf and, you know, Zach Moss? And can you go get somebody like a Chris Olave? I think that you should try. Same thing for Jalen Waddle, Aaron Jones. I think you guys could, it would be something along those lines for Aaron Jones. Would be kind of, you know, similar. Can you take Nico Collins and Khalil Herbert and go get Aaron Jones? You know, can you do something along those lines? Certainly, I would think you could probably take Madison and Sutton, Madison and London, Madison and Dubs, one of these guys like this. You know, Madison and Thielen. If you think Aaron Jones is an upgrade over Madison, he may or may not be. I think you could try to do something along those lines. CeeDee Lamb, I think you guys understand to do that. Tony Pollard, like, that's the big boy. You're going to need to put together a big-time package. Can you put Madison and Herbert together? Can you put Madison and Collins together? Can you put Madison and Ridley together? Can you put Herbert and London together? I mean, I don't think that'll get it done. Can you put Metcalf and London together? Can you put Metcalf and Madison together and go get Tony Pollard? You will be so thankful if you do, which is why you should absolutely give it a try. Travis Etienne, I think this is the kind of guy you can maybe maybe even more of a ripe guy. You know, can you take Khalil Herbert and Drake London and get Travis Etienne if you would? If you could, I would do it in a New York minute. So those are some examples there of trades that, you know, we would attempt to construct using some of the prominent players in this week's trade cast. Of course, if we were going to do, we were talking consolidation trades there where we're taking two players, packaging them together, shipping them off for a more prominent player, liberating a waiver roster spot that we can go cultivate more waiver wire talent through. But if we're a losing team and we need to work in reverse here, replenish our starting lineup with multiple good players we think we're buying low on, maybe that's our opportunity to sell, you know, Alexander Mattison and get Breece Hall and T. Higgins. I don't doubt you can get that maybe, but like maybe you can get Breece Hall and Amari Cooper, Breece Hall and Michael Thomas, like T. Higgins and Javonte Williams. That would be amazing if you could get a package like that. If you needed two players in return, what a boon. Even at this stage of the season, if you don't need two players in return, we could all use some bench depth to navigate the attrition of the buys and the injuries. I still don't hate that. Like the idea right now, I'm sitting here thinking right here on the show, like I manage Alexander Mattison. If I could go trade him for some kind of Miles Sanders or Breece Hall or Javonte Williams or Jahmyr Gibbs or maybe Ramondre Stevenson, there's some other guys in here like a Michael Thomas or a Pittman or a Cooper or a Higgins, like some kind of configuration there start to get me pretty interested myself in liquidating a player like Alexander Mattison this week. All right, folks, I hope everybody is doing well and having a great fantasy football season this far. We appreciate all your support at rosterwatch.com. And of course, for all the folks on the Roster Watch team, I'm Byron Lambert. I thank you very much for joining me for this week 5 edition of the rosterwatch.com Tradecast. Until next time, folks, this is Roster Watch.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.